stunning start to the inaugural night of knockout phase playoff football. It was another Champions League classic as Manchester City and Real Madrid met once again, the holders snatching a first leg lead with virtually the last kick of a five-goal thriller. Paris Saint-Germain and Dortmund have one foot in the last 16 after wonderful displays away from home. And Juventus were also victorious as the knockout stage delivered. It always does. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes or so. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. Well, 2 weeks ago, we marvelled at the end of the first league phase and that amazing Wednesday night when everybody played. And now the knockout stage has begun in wonderful fashion. We thought it might, and it certainly didn't disappoint. Here are the Tuesday results from the first leg of these knockout phase playoffs. Remember, the winners will go through to the last 16 and join the eight clubs who are already guaranteed their place at that stage of the UEFA Champions League. Finished Manchester City 2, Real Madrid 3, Brest 0, Paris 3, Juventus 2, PSV 1, and Sporting 0, Dortmund 3. Joining myself this evening to talk about it all, European football expert Alvaro Romeo.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Very good. And the football commentator, Joe Shannon.
Hello, Chris.
Alvaro, what an evening. Drama again. Drama everywhere.
Again. I mean, we are getting used to this, but we can never get enough anyway. It's really nice to watch games with a lot of goals. I mean, the average of goals per game tonight, again, has been over 3. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have seen the likes of Dembele stepping up, shining, then Real Madrid winning pretty much in the last minute, then away wins, an away win, important one for Dortmund, and Juventus winning their game as well. So, you know, it's been a very entertaining night, but if I have to stick to someone, it has to be what happened at the Manchester City ground, because at the end of the day, we're talking about true European giants, and they played on a toe-to-toe game at the end. Real Madrid managed to trigger another remontada, as we say in Spanish, another comeback, and they did it, and they won 3-2 away.
They did, and we'll get into that properly shortly. Joe, you were commentating on that. We've given you 5 minutes to get your voice back. I mean, some games you watch and you kind of marvel at the sheer quality and the level that football has got to. That, for me, was one of those matches.
One of the great modern-day rivalries produced another classic, befitting of a semi-final, a final. These two just seem to bring the best out of each other from an attacking perspective, and it's happened again.
It has. Let's hear how, in the company of Joe and Alvaro, who were on commentary. A blockbuster tie, we knew it was. The 2023 champions, Manchester City, and the 15-time winners and defending champions, Real Madrid. Here is how the drama unfolded.
Guardiola, who's held it up in front of Rodrigo. Another reverse pass. Down the inside, left for Haaland to chase. This time in a much more advanced position. About a metre or two from the corner of the penalty area. Dink over the top by Grealish. And now Haaland is in! Haaland has tucked it in! The flag stays down and Manchester City lead!
I think that Josko Guardiola was the key in all this, because he started the move, then he did the run, Jack Grealish gave an exquisite pass to the Croatian, and then the pass to Erling Haaland.
Valverde tried to drill it low, it hit the bottom of the wall, it's come back out to Dani Ceballos, over the top, Mbappe on the volley, he's mishit it, but it's gone in! It's 1-1! Kylian Mbappe gets his goal, took a big swing at it, and it sort of glanced off the edge of the boot, sliced up into the air, beat the helpless Edison, and Real Madrid are back in it on the night. We said there would be a twist. Haaland with a penalty, puts it in left-footed. Goalkeeper went the wrong way, and the twist is that Manchester City lead again. Oh, but City have given it away. Brahim Diaz to Vinicius Junior from a very tight angle, saved, and the rebound is lashed in! It is 2-2, and would you believe it? Brahim Diaz has scored against his old club. Vinicius Junior darting down the left, out comes Edison. Vinicius Junior's lobbed is over him. Bellingham is there! Bellingham has steered it in! Real Madrid have done it!
What an ending of the game. Unbelievable. And Rubén Díaz cannot believe it. Manchester City cannot believe it. They were winning 2-1 about 15 minutes ago. Real Madrid is going to get the win.
So in the second minute of three, Jude Bellingham, the match winner, and he enjoyed that celebration in front of the City fans, arms aloft, knowing that it's definitely not tie over, but it's Real Madrid, the happier at the halfway point. They'll take a 1-0 lead back to the Bernabeu next Wednesday. Where to start, really? Perhaps the beginning, Joe, because we expected fireworks from the pre-match entertainment. The words of Carlo Ancelotti and Pep Guardiola in the build-up kind of mentioning that, OK, the winner of this tie is going to go deep. Who knows, might even win it like they have in the past. And Real Madrid seemed to settle the better and played some sparkling attacking football, really, for the opening 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Chances are plenty. I actually thought Manchester City played with great intensity and purpose early on as well. And a terrific opening goal. I mean, it was a move that started from the goalkeeper, Edison, yeah. I think, quite literally from back to front. There were two reverse balls in the build-up. And to see Josko Gvardiol ending up on the edge of the six-yard box with a really clever cushioned chest with his back to goal into the path of Erling Haaland. And it wasn't an easy finish against a big goalkeeper like Courtois, who's starfishing in front of him, point-blank range, but Haaland manages to turn it in. It was such an exciting first 20 minutes that really set the tone for everything that followed. And the remarkable thing was that the players from both teams were able to maintain that level of intensity and breathlessness for the entire 93 minutes.
Yeah, there felt like there was a rivalry out there on the pitch. So great scenes in the tunnel, you know, all friends, international teammates. Haaland and Mbappe had a really nice moment actually before the game, and Haaland and Vinicius did. But when they're out there, this wasn't just let's watch each other attacking. It was real blood and thunder stuff from the off, Alvaro.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the firepower of both teams also made the scoreline being like that. I mean, there were a lot of attempts, yes, 29 attempts in the game. But what I would stay with is Real Madrid's firepower up front is really impressive these days. I know that Manchester City, for example, have Erling Haaland, and Erling Haaland had never scored against Real Madrid until tonight.
Yep.
So good for him. I mean, it's important as well to break the duck for the Norwegian footballer. But the options that Real Madrid have up front are endless. I mean, Brahim Diaz came in the second half, he scored the goal. Kylian Mbappe scored, even if his shot wasn't particularly great. I think he hit it with the shin pad, but still he directed the ball towards the net.
And the movement.
And the movement, exactly. The movement was very good. Coming, by the way, from a second ball of Real Madrid, which is very important because I want to dig deep on this. I think that Real Madrid was very good in the second half with the pressure. And if you remember, the goal of Kylian Mbappé comes from a direct free kick from Fede Valverde that comes deflected, and Real Madrid was clever enough just to keep on playing. They won the ball again, which is very important because in the second half, by pressurizing the opponent, they have won a lot of balls, and then Kylian Mbappé scored that one. And then Jude Bellingham. During the game, Jude Bellingham played okay, but I think that the danger of Jude Bellingham was always there. He got a chance, one-on-one with Ederson, he didn't score it just for an inch, and then he got his reward at the end of the game, stoppage time, scoring the winning goal.
Well, let's hear from the England international and the first leg match winner.
I think we played some of our best football of the season, and then managed to find ourselves behind in the game. It was a bit of a weird one, you know. I don't care what form City are in; they're still an unbelievable team, and so difficult to play against the way they move you, manipulate your position, and it's always really tricky to play against them. And in the end, we just, you know, took one of the many chances finally, you know. So that was what made it count.
Yeah, you could tell everybody almost stopped inside the stadium when Vinicius lobbed it over Edison. To find out whether the ball was going to go wide, whether the City defender was going to get there, or whether Bellingham was going to win the race and tap it in. But he mentioned there, Joe, about how 10 minutes from time they found themselves behind. Phil Foden came on for Jack Grealish, who got injured, had a really good game, I think, and was fouled for a penalty. And at that stage, you really felt, OK, it's going to be City who are going to head to Madrid. with the first leg advantage.
And Haaland tucked it away very nice, as you say. I think credit to Carlo Ancelotti for the changes that he made that gave Real Madrid a freshness, I thought, in the latter stages. And I'm not just going to bring Brahim Diaz into it because he scored, although he took the goal beautifully.
Yeah.
But there was a greater freshness about Real Madrid in those closing minutes when they really needed it. That coupled with a player in Vinicius Junior who seemed to stay fresh for the entire game. I thought he was absolutely outstanding throughout, and I thought fitting that he was involved directly in the winning goal. It's a lob over Edison that bounces kindly for Bellingham, but Vinicius Junior was a threat throughout the game. And I mean, he hit the bar in the first half a little, unfortunately, involved in that wonderful move that led to Ferland Mendy being denied from close range by Nathan Ake. He was such a tenacious threat throughout, and so I thought fitting that he was involved in that final goal.
And I would like to add that Real Madrid played with no first squad centre-back, because Asensio started the season at Real Madrid Castilla, and Tchouaméni is a makeshift centre-back, because Real Madrid has in the sidelines Militao, Alaba, and Rudiger, and obviously that makes winning very difficult. I mean, you go to a ground like Manchester City's and you really have to work very hard to win with no defenders, and they did it. And I think that Asensio did a good game, Tchouaméni was fine, and generally speaking, it was one of these wins that should fortify Real Madrid's morale, because if they do it without having, as I said before, Rudiger, Militao and Alaba, that means that they are still staying competitive. It was impressive to see, yeah.
Certainly was. Good news for them as well. They had some big players on a yellow card away from missing the second leg, but Jude Bellingham, Camavinga and Tchouaméni, fine, no yellow card. Ruben Diaz as well for City, so everyone is going to be available pending injury in the next 7 days. I mean, we have to look ahead to the second leg, because it's going to be more of the same, right? Man City know they have to score. Real Madrid can never sit back at home. Are we going to have a similar type of occasion to this?
I would like to add something. There are not suspensions for the next game, but two players of Manchester City pick injuries, and we have to see how serious they are, right? Manuel Akanji was the game plan, the game plan to stop Vinicius. Manuel Akanji could only last 45 minutes. And then, unfortunately, Jack Grealish picked an injury in the first half as well. I think it was muscular. But, you know, with the second game, 8 days to go, hopefully he'll be on time, but I doubt it. I think that it will be difficult to have Jack Grealish on time for the game at Santiago Bernabeu.
I think you can never rule anything out, can you? And I think the history of this fixture tells us that. The drama, the late goals in 21-22, in the semi-finals, the quarter-final, which was an absolute classic last season. So Real Madrid have a slender advantage, but Manchester City will feel with the quality that they have that they're capable of getting themselves back in the tie. Again, I think there'll be goals. I think these two head coaches have a footballing philosophy that makes the game so great to watch. They're going to want to win the leg and the tie. They both have the incentive to do so. So I think, yet again, we'll see another classic next week.
Yeah.
Remember, neither of these teams finished in the top eight, which is why they were there.
That's why the league phase has been so exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Manchester City, only on match day eight, made it through against Club Brugge. Brilliant entertainment for the neutrals whenever these two meet. Just a stat to finish off this first leg. Erling Haaland now has 49 goals in 48 Champions League games. Kylian Mbappe has 52 in 82. So they're 3 goals apart. OK, Mbappe's played a few more, but of course, Haaland's won the competition. Mbappe hasn't yet. That may change come Munich at the end of this season. Real Madrid will certainly hope so. But those two should be in action next Wednesday, along with the other superstars that these giant clubs have. And we'll bring you uninterrupted commentary on Match Day Live on the Champions League app, on UEFA.com and across North America on Sirius XMFC on Wednesday the 19th of February. You will not want to miss it. Still to come, we're going to look at the other three matches which began in terms of their knockout phase playoffs on this Champions League Tuesday.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Well, next we go to Lisbon, where Sporting hosted Dortmund. Martin Tyler was watching this one.
Guirassy waiting in the middle, and they're looking for him. Guirassy gets to it, and he scores brilliantly. And when you are on top, it's important that you do score, and Dalton have done just that. Straightforward ball in, and a very good header, and it's Sporting 0, Dortmund 1. It's a lovely ball, and it's met by Pascal Gross. Another cross, another successful conversion. And Gross, the man of all parts, he gets into the penalty area as well. And he flew in on the chance. Here's Adeyemi, got wrapped up with him. And Bayer's arriving at pace, but Adeyemi will get there first. And they've taken three now off Sporting here in Lisbon.
Yeah, sensational result for Niko Kovac, who's not too long into the job at Dortmund. And Alvaro, let's begin with the man who scored the first, Seru Girassi, and created the second with a brilliant ball. They have some centre-forward, Borussia Dortmund. They've had many down the years, and he is next in the line of Borussia Dortmund number nines, really making an impact.
They've got some striker. He's very good. He's been the most valuous player of the game, the MVP as well, and I can see why. He has scored. He has the capability to play in long, in big spaces. He's pretty good as well when it comes to heading as well. And it's a very big win for Dortmund. At the end of the day, you know, they capitalize on the situation. I think that the Sporting Club Portugal, they are maybe not having the best moment right now because Victor Gyökeres is, suffering from some injury. Tonight he could only play around 35 minutes, more or less. And the team obviously was always going to be less without Gyökeres on the pitch. So a good win for Dortmund. I think that is pretty good for Kovac as well to find a little bit of a good trajectory, a good form as well. And I think that the Lions will find it very difficult to turn the situation around in 8 days on the 19th of February.
Yeah, it's a serious big challenge to try and overturn a three-goal deficit. Borussia Dortmund currently 11th in the German Bundesliga. But a word on Girassi again. He now has 10 goals in this season's UEFA Champions League, and he is the competition's top scorer, the Guinea international. I mean,
he's made for the competition. I mean, he has scored more goals in the Champions League than in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
So that tells you something. And his goals, some of them are not easy. I think that he's there. I mean, you always have to adapt to a new team, and he has done it very well. And as I said before, I mean, he's got pretty much all the skill in the skill palette. I like the fact that he can run, he can be good in the counter, then in the 6-yard box, he knows to know every corner of the 6-yard box very well. His positioning in the box is really good. He rarely misfires too, which is something that you would associate maybe with a striker that takes a lot of shots. But, he is the kind of player that Dortmund can rely on to win these big games. And he has done it in a very big ground like the Jose Alvalade. Players like this, there are not many of them. You have to treasure them.
Yeah, like you do. We are lucky. We never take it for granted watching the UEFA Champions League and seeing so many of them on a night like this. Last season's beaten finalists, Borussia Dortmund will fully expect to be in the round of 16, 3-0 up, going to the home leg back at the BVB Stadion against Sporting. Another team who have an advantage is Juventus. They hosted PSV in Turin, and Simon Brotherton was your commentator.
Federico Gatti bulldozing forward. It's excellent from Gatti, and it's almost a chance. Ronald Kolo and Mawani almost turned it in. What a lovely strike from Weston McKennie. A pile driver of a finish. It's a cracker of a goal from Weston McKennie that puts Juventus ahead in this playoff tie. Noah Lang looks to tee it up. Deflects off Locatelli. Here's Ivan Perisic. It's 1-1. And it's the former Inter player, Ivan Perisic, who finds the back of the net. Luiz shoveling it on its way to Francisco Conceição. Look at that burst of pace from him. Benitez is there. And Bangura, 2-1. The substitute scores. And Juventus' lead is restored.
Yeah, first goal for the young 21-year-olds. And a big moment for the Belgium, obviously, to give his team a narrow first leg lead. Tie very much alive heading back to Eindhoven, but important clearly for Juventus to get over the line. And this very young team that Thiago Motta is putting together, big nights, big moments like that can really galvanise it and give confidence.
Yeah, it's a very young team. It's new as well, with a new manager and many new players coming back in summer and a few more coming in winter, like the likes of Kolumwani. But it's young, definitely, because I was reading before a stat given by UEFA, no player in Juventus lineup was over 28 years old, which is, you know, quite a thing. It's very promising as well, moving forward, and in the future, I can only expect these players to become better. I think that Juventus this season is improving gradually. It's a team that doesn't lose a lot of games. Normally they draw many games instead of losing them, which is a positive sign. They stay in the games. They finish the group stage with a positive goal difference, which is something that I always look at, because that's for me a synonym of a competitive side. And you know, they did what they have to do. I know that Perisic's goals was beautiful and all that, but it didn't unsettle Juventus very much. They ended up winning the game, and they beat already PSV Eindhoven 3-1 in September, and they have beaten them again 2-1. So you can suppose, or you can say, that they know how to play against them. But whatever happens in 8 days' time is obviously a mystery to us. Anything can happen.
It's going to be a rocking atmosphere in Eindhoven, that is for sure. Yeah, the quirk of the draw, they met in the league phase and they were then paired together in the knockout phase playoffs. But it's Juventus who have that narrow lead. By the way, at 36 years of age, Ivan Perisic became the oldest PSV player to ever score a goal in the UEFA Champions League. So a bit of club history for him. We'll move on to the fourth and final match on this Tuesday, and it was the early game, an all-French encounter as Brest, in their first ever European campaign, let alone Champions League season, an amazing story for them. They made it through, and they were paired against a fellow French side, the Ligue 1 champions Paris Saint-Germain. Here's how this one unfolded in the company of Jonathan Pearce.
Vitinha has the responsibility. This to give Paris Saint-Germain, you'd have to say, a deserved early advantage, stirring the goalkeeper down, and beats him nonchalantly. Brest 0, PSG 1. Ousmane Dembélé! PSG step up through the gears, and Dembélé does what he's been doing so frequently. That's 17 goals in a 10-game run, and he's scored in each and every one of them. Dembélé rushes onto it. Dembélé! 3-0 PSG, and he cannot stop scoring, especially against Brest.
Yeah, he is in sensational form, Ousmane Dembélé. 15 goals now this year, and we are only in the middle, not even the middle of February, and he has scored a huge amount of goals against Brest this season, two domestically and now in the UEFA Champions League. It was Vitinha who you heard opened the scoring from the penalty spot, and here were his post-match thoughts.
It was a complete display of the team, very tough game to play, but we were very good in all of the aspects, and I think it was a very deserved win. I think we're in a very good phase. We have to take advantage of it as well, stay in this wave of good results, good exhibitions, but it's not just magic. We have to still do the same things that we did until now to continue like this.
Paris, very, very impressive. 3-0 away from home, as we mentioned, and as you heard. Here is their boss, Luis Enrique, full of praise for Ousmane Dembélé after another spectacular performance.
Ousmane is in a huge moment of confidence, and he is now like in the PlayStation with the light above him. And yeah, but all the team. I think all the team, we play as a team, and we try to defend and attack all together, and we are happy with the performance. It's so difficult to play here against Brest. Every time we play here and also in Paris, they create a lot of chances, they score a lot of goals. And today I think we were lacking some moments of the match because they could score a goal.
10 days ago, Dembélé scored a hat-trick away at Brest, by the way, in the league, and he has 18 goals in his last 10 games, yep. Which, I mean, that puts... We mentioned some of the records from Mbappe and Haaland. I mean, they've rarely hit those heights in a 10-game spell.
It's absolutely ridiculous. He has scored 15 goals in 2025, 22 goals in the season, which is his already best ever tally. Dembélé was always a player who unsettled you. His capacity to improvise and to dribble past you anyway has been always there. But the problem with Dembélé, if anything, is the fact that he wasn't scoring a lot of goals. However, right now, he is, as Luis Enrique said, with the light on top of above his head.
I enjoyed that analogy, yeah. From Luis Enrique.
No, me too, because it was spot on. And the truth is that, you know, it's the way it is. And if you have a player like Dembélé right now, and fingers crossed that he stays healthy and all that, and physically in good condition, you know, you have to believe that anything can happen in the game, and he can win the game for you any time. I mean, very impressive. And one thing on Luis Enrique, by the way, I wasn't too surprised that Paris Saint-Germain won, because Luis Enrique has never lost as a Paris Saint-Germain manager an away game in France. Never, ever, ever. Last season, Paris lost 2 games in the league, but they were at home. Never away.
Amazing records.
It is, it is.
So the return leg at the Parc des Princes is on Wednesday, the 19th of February. And Paris Saint-Germain, who remember were one of the teams going into match day 8 in danger of being eliminated altogether, they really do have a great advantage as they aim for a place in the round of 16. A reminder that on Wednesday, there are 4 more first legs. Our featured commentary on UEFA Champions League match day live will be Celtic against Bayern. It should be a brilliant atmosphere in the east end of Glasgow, and we can hear from the Celtic boss, Brendan Rodgers.
I think we've already shown progress this season before we kick a ball tomorrow night. I've been really pleased with that side of it. I think over the course of the 8 games, we played Borussia Dortmund, top team, Atalanta, top team. So we've proven in this sort of first season that there's elements to our game that is making progress. But of course, we were in it for the purpose, and the purpose was to get to this stage, past the 8 games. So now we play probably one of the teams that will see themselves as favourites for the competition. Got wonderful talent. Vincent's gone in there and done a really, really good job with some top young players and some really experienced players. And but I can't wait for that, because that's what you look forward to as a coach. And I know we are all as a team looking to test ourselves and measure ourselves against an absolutely brilliant team.
Well, from the moment that Brendan Rodgers returned to Celtic, he talked about taking a next step in the Champions League, and he's done that this season. This is their first knockout stage match for 12 years, of course, a club, Joe, with an immense European history. It's going to be loud at Celtic Park, I think.
Well, this is exactly why the league phase, I think, has been so interesting. I think it's given a real opportunity to a club like Celtic of going deep, potentially, in the competition. And they've had some memorable European nights in the Champions League at their home ground in the past. I remember a Champions League victory over Barcelona.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you're going to get is that ground is going to be absolutely rocking. Obviously, the difficulty is they're coming up against a Bayern side who are in terrific domestic form, certainly, and they are so prolific going forward. So the difficulty that Celtic will have is keeping out Bayern, but I think it's a fixture they've been looking forward to a long time. Celtic are well clear in their domestic league. A lot of energy and focus from the fans is on this first leg of the tie. And if they can establish an advantage, then who knows?
10 of their 12 league phase points came at home as well. So Celtic might actually, I guess, be quite happy that the first leg is at home. Can they get something to take to Munich? You'll find out on Matchday Live, full commentary from 9 p.m. CET on Wednesday. 3 other games. The early kickoff, Club Brugge against Atalanta. That's second in Belgium against third in Italy. Remember, Club Brugge, the final team to qualify. Yeah. They had to wait on the pitch away at Manchester City. I want to speak to you, Alvaro, about Feyenoord against AC Milan.
Yeah.
2 former winners, but it's been a busy week for Feyenoord. They departed company with their coach, Brian Prisk, yesterday.
Yeah.
Pascal Borchardt's in temporary charge, a former player, and a Rotterdam boy. So he'll know all about De Kuip. Is it about harnessing that kind of energy and knowledge of the club, you know, to to try and go toe-to-toe with the seven-time winners?
Of course, and you have to convince the players that you know, they can make it. It's not going to be easy, of course, because Milan, AC Milan under Sergio Conceição, they look stronger than they did look in autumn. And I do believe that the addition of Santi Jimenez, by the way, a former Feyenoord player, can make a difference here too. And of course, they strengthen themselves in winter with the addition of Kyle Walker, who can help a lot in defense as well. So I think that, you know, it's going to be one of those big European games, that's for sure. But right now, I tend to believe that maybe Milan has more certainties around them. They changed managers as well a month ago, but everything has been going so well for them, even winning the Italian Supercoppa, that you can think that maybe Milan feels a little bit more optimistic about this game.
First ever Champions League knockout stage match for Feyenoord. Of course, a team of a great history, winners of the competition in 1970. It's going to be a massive occasion, and actually it will rival the atmosphere at Celtic. You know, both those stadiums, two of the loudest anywhere in the world, actually, and both are going to be packed on Wednesday for knockout stage football in the Champions League. Back quickly, gents, to this evening. Player, moment of the night. It can be from the game you commentated on together or any of the other three. I will start with Joe.
A player of the night for me, Vinicius Junior. I just thought he was involved from the off for Real Madrid. Fitting that he had a hand in Bellingham's winning goal. Lovely moment for Jude Bellingham, the England international at the City of Manchester Stadium. But for me, Vinicius Junior, I mean, he has a history of turning up in the big games in the UEFA Champions League. Amazing that he's still only 24.
Yeah.
Feels like he's been around forever. But I think his influence over the course of the 92 minutes was absolutely pivotal for Real Madrid.
I would say that the most remarkable thing has been Real Madrid winning it, so I'm going to say that the moment was for me Jude Bellingham scoring the winning goal at Manchester City ground, and the player of the day for me has been Ousmane Dembélé. We have to praise a footballer who has improved so much in the space of 3 or 4 months.
He is in the form of his life. Yeah. Paris Saint-Germain will hope that continues. So they won 3-0 away at Brest. It finished Manchester City 2, Real Madrid 3, and we can hear now from Carlo Ancelotti.
I think the game was really good from our side. We were really dangerous. We defended well. And so at the end of the day, I think that the victory is deserved. Also, we have to stay calm. It's only the first half. And everything can happen at the Bernabeu. And we have a lot of respect to this team. And so we have to prepare well the game as we prepared well this first half.
If you want to know how well Madrid played, they were the first visiting team to attempt 20-plus shots in one match at the City of Manchester Stadium in the last 10 seasons, and they scored 3 goals ultimately. Finished Juventus 2, PSV 1, as we've mentioned, and Dortmund's 3-0 win at Sporting, an eye-catching result for new coach Niko Kovac, who says his side can still improve.
In the first half, we forgot to play a little bit faster football. The ball speed was too slow, so the opponent was always able to recover faster. So in the second half, we increased the speed, the ball speed, we switched the play. We had some good actions into the depth. We created some good moments, and the crosses we made were fantastic. So I'm very happy. But as a coach, there are for sure some things we can improve. I was a former football player, and you can't say it's done. So it's not done before it's done. So we have 90 minutes to go, and it will be tough, especially we know we have on Saturday a big and important game in the Bundesliga. So we are focused. We must stay focused. And then after 2 games, we can see if we are in the next round.
The words of Niko Kovac, the new Dortmund coach. Alvaro, Joe, thank you very much. That's all we have time for this evening. Another cracking night in the UEFA Champions League. And don't forget, you can download the official podcast shortly after every match night. Matchday Live back on air from 8:45 CET on Wednesday. Full commentary of Celtic against Bayern, plus updates from the 3 other matches on Wednesday. The 2 late games and the 1 early kickoff. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.